got Mick Mouldhouse here, legendary football coach, of course, and you were just telling me we should put on the headphones because we look professional.
Yeah, Paddy smacked himself in the face with them. The last time we saw you, Mick, we were over at the grand final.
At the parade.
We just got so excited because we turned around and there's Mick Mouldhouse. We ran over and got a selfie with you.
He was just walking down the street in amongst the crowd.
With my grandchildren.
Yeah.
That was
as
a big
you do.
Day.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was literally 2 minutes from my house.
Oh, wow.
That's what made it easy.
Yeah,
wow,
right.
You live that close.
Yeah.
That's a great
And so
spot.
You saw us from your window and thought, I better get down there and get a selfie with them.
I saw that and I thought, get down there as quick as you can. So had to get the kids wrapped up and down there.
Yeah.
Well, Mick,
sure
we've got you here
happens.
Because season two of The Recruit premieres next Wednesday on Fox 8. You can check it out, everyone. It's all about footy and the opportunity for somebody to live their dream that hasn't previously done that as an AFL player. And here's the legend, Mick Mouldhouse, telling us a bit about his background.
I was born in Ballarat. My family were genuine battlers, probably from the wrong side of the tracks. But I loved my footy. It's a real special game. As a player, I won a premiership. As a coach, I won three more. But it might have ended before it began. I didn't make the cut with the first senior side. They didn't think I had it. They said, go back to Ballarat, enjoy your footy, forget your dream.
Yeah, it didn't all work out beautifully for you at the start either, Mick. I didn't know that. Alan Jeans, was it, who...
Well, you know, it's interesting because Christy said, I'm going to write a book. Mm. And as we got closer to it, she said, I better find it. Because it was about her, through her eyes. And the first thing she remembered was these balloons coming out of this ground and champagne being popped and so forth, or corks being popped. And it was grand final day. Yeah. Premiership at Richmond. That was the first thing. But she said, if I'm going to write, I need a bit of history. So then it dawned on me about my first year. Because 1971... Oh, no, it's a long time ago. The Saints played in the grand final, so they're a pretty good side.
Yeah.
So I've been invited down, reluctantly invited down, because they had so many 5'11" players, they just couldn't be bothered, really.
Yeah.
So I went down and said, look, I'm going to have a real crack at this. And my memory is I played three practice matches, and they just said, no, listen, son.
So you were 18, 19?
18.
Yeah.
But I went back. I actually had a bad back, and I didn't score. You don't tell anyone.
Yeah.
So I got over that and played one game, and they invited me back, and I ended up playing... Well, senior football and senior finals that year.
Yeah, right.
As an 18-year-old, so I was pretty lucky to actually get back. But and when people read, they go, "Oh, you must have been so driven to get back." Mm. Quite honestly, I love the game.
Yeah.
But when you haven't got something in your hand, and so it can't be taken off if you haven't got it.
Yeah.
If I hadn't played football.
Yep.
And then been told, yeah, I would have been pretty narky and try to get back. But because you don't, if you don't lose something that you haven't got, you can't lose something.
Yeah.
Were you, if footy didn't work out, where were you going to end up?
That's the first time that question's been asked.
Really?
Yeah, and I know the answer because at the time I was in the bank and there was two of us in the bank and we said, let's jack of this bank. We're heading to Western Australia.
Oh, so you would have wound up here
as
18-year-olds.
He was 20, I think. So we're going to resign that week. A letter came through and said to him, we value how you're going. We're going to move you to New Guinea. So he got moved to New Guinea.
Yes.
And that was a promotion.
Yeah.
So he
stayed in the bank.
So he went to stayed in the bank, Westpac up in Port Moresby. Yeah. And the same week I got a letter to say, will you come down and train?
Yeah, right.
Wow.
So what were you going to do over here if you got here?
Have a kick, work in the mines.
Catch some Pokemon. Whatever else
do all that sort of stuff. Yeah, see if I can kick a little boulder over and find it. It was nickel.
Yeah.
Or gold or something. Gold or uranium.
Iron ore.
Or whatever. Something that was going to make some money. But
wow.
So,
you're going to head west and find your fortune.
Yeah. So I could have been a real Western Australian.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know what?
Is it a make-believe?
Yeah, well, you know, a lot of West Coast Eagles supporters still claim you as a West Australian, Mick, because of the two premierships.
You did all right here, Mick.
I'm quite happy about that. I love Western Australia.
Yeah.
I still have you. You're still WA to me, straight away. Yeah. Because you are part of the history here. What you did with the Eagles was here.
Well, we were talking outside there before about time, and I said, well, you know that it was 1999 when I left.
Mm.
They've gone, no.
Yeah. That's 17 years ago.
17 years ago. So I coached Collingwood for 12 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow.
So you were at Collingwood for longer than you were at the Eagles.
And no one believes
it. No, because I think it was more that it was so pivotal, yes, your time, yeah, here. You know, it was the first time an interstate team had won a premiership, and the fact that you managed to win two with the Eagles as well.
Yeah.
You know, it was such a massive moment in history. It kind of stretches time, I think.
Yeah, and I guess we established the club. Established the club where it was going to be. And I still, to this day, nothing was more defining than the last six games in 1990.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Because they're all away. And we end up making to the preliminary final, and we should have had home finals, which you know we all whinge about, and rightfully.
Yeah.
But that defined the football club, because we declared something that time, that no matter what they threw at us, we were going to overcome.
Yeah.
Some really good, tough players, mentally tough players. And I think there's a defining moment. There's a genesis for everything. And to me, that was the genesis for what I believe is one of the
what
most successful
after.
Football
clubs
in history.
Yeah.
Was created in the last 6 weeks of that year.
Yeah, was that when did Sumer have a shot in the finals?
At the post. How unusual would that be?
Well,
the only unusual thing about it was that he actually hit the post and then kicked it out in the full.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, there
it
you
was
go.
About 10 metres out on an angle, I remember. Waverley. Was that Waverley?
Waverley.
Because one of the things, because I was over a couple of weeks ago with Rob Wiley with, you know, Go the Sharks.
Go the Sharks.
Yeah. And, yes, of course, Go the Sharks. And I was walking into the rooms and bumped into two blokes, and there's Sumer. It was always hard to bump into him. And then the little bloke next to me said, "What about me?" And it was Peter Matera. Of course, great memories come back.
Yeah.
And I remember saying to Sumer, which he loves, I think he's the only left foot goal kicker to kick as many goals as he did at the time. I think Lloyd might have, whatever, has done it now. But he kicked 111.90. So that's 200 shots on goal.
Yeah.
And then I said, "That's amazing, Peter." But I said, "What's more amazing, it really wasn't 200 shots. It was 250 shots, because 50 went out in the full."
Yeah.
And so he's had more shots than probably, I'd say, Plug a Locket and all those
places.
Incredible.
Yeah, potentially, you know, he could have kicked easily 150 goals in a season.
Oh, 700.
Yeah.
Now, hey, Mick, you've had such a long coaching career. Do you feel like you've missed out something because you haven't actually gotten the chance to coach Sean McManus?
Yeah, that would be a void in your career.
No, I tell you what, it wasn't without effort, because I could see him coming through the ranks, and I'm thinking, how do we snatch this kid? There's two people in particular. Sean doesn't realise this. Sean and Jimmy Clement. Now, that was Jimmy Clement was later.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking, I can see these kids coming through now. How can I sort of go around to their place and say, listen, just take a dive and play lousy and don't get picked up.
That never would have happened.
No.
Is that why you were kicking crooked for those
years? I did it for the next 20 years. Nick.
And you got into a habit of doing it.
I certainly did. The one thing that has been synonymous with you is your success throughout the journey. Now, how can you bring this to the recruit? And how was it rocking up the first day to jump back in to the footy circle?
Well, it wasn't hard, because it's a cross-section of the community. We've got 15 kids that have come from nowhere. We just give them an opportunity, try to preach teamwork, which is very hard when there's only one contract. And it's the journey of these kids. So I'm looking at the life of these, and they're all so different.
Yeah.
So different. And that's what makes the world go around, really. We're all complicated in some manner. It's a matter of harnessing it and getting the best out of it.
You know, and this is amazing, the recruitment, because when this idea first came along, I honestly thought that the way that I thought when Idol and that came along, the music industry would not respect this. But the opposite, isn't it? Like, the football industry is actually going, no, this is great. And people like you are getting on board.
Well, it's live. It's real.
Yeah.
And you're seeing some great characters come out of this.
Yeah, and it's often a chance for redemption for some of them as well.
It
yeah.
is. Second
hey,
chance.
Mick, we've got to get to the news. We're going to get you to hang around, all right? We've got you for the next little while.
Right there. No.
He can do it, everyone.
Snitchel.
No.
Close.
Schnitzel.
There we go.
Mick,
high five.
Absolutely. Mick Goldhouse is in the house.
15 times, Mick. We have the legend here, Natalie, as you were saying. He is the coach on season 2 of The Recruit, which starts next Wednesday. You can check all the action out on Fox 8, of course. It is a really good show. Mick, one of the things that we've seen you over the years on TV for, you've been unbelievably successful, but also your relationship with the media, which you've been a part of when
you would go from being the really grumpy coach who hates the media to being the media, like from one season to the next, and then back again.
Because I love it.
Yeah. Is it a sparring match? Is that what it is? Is it the coach's job to be? Because we see Ross Lyon do it as well.
Ross Lyon. Any question Ross Lyon is ever asked, and I think this is anywhere in life, he merely tolerates.
Yes, it's utter disdain pretty much for the person asking it.
Don't you think, though, that over time it grows?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
I was pretty meek and mild, really, but it's just grown now into, like, savagery. And they think I treated, like had this savage reaction.
Yeah, so the myth
with
grows.
Everyone. Yeah. But reality-wise, it's probably only one or two people.
Yeah.
Well, they come for you at a press conference. They come with you
especially
with
if you
an angle
won.
Every time. Yeah. You know they're coming.
I say to them now, who have you got that you can, you get a reaction from? And they go, pardon me, well, there's no one. I said, well, how dull and boring is it now?
Yeah.
So at least I kept people entertained.
It's hilarious.
Well, that was definitely true.
Do you miss that part of it as well?
No, it's like a train coming at you. You really want it to hit you, don't you? So do you really reckon that I was building up? It's like, Sean, it's like you wake up in the morning for a game, okay, and you're getting yourself ready and this sort of stuff. And on the other side of the world is a journo who is getting ready for the post-match. I'm getting ready for the game.
Yeah.
So I'm getting, I'm having my porridge and my toast and get to the game and 2 hours before the game and he's winding up and I'm winding up and we've got different missions and I'm going to get the side up and he's getting there. What dumb question can I give this man? Really dumb
because
question.
Because their job is to find a negative angle. Yeah. Negative angles sell papers more than positive ones do.
So they work quickly through that game and look for the most negative, stupid question they can possibly find. And I'm thinking about how to win the game. And the game finishes and you've lost by a point in the game you should have won. And someone's made a, 10-meter, 50-meter error
You're in a great mood to start with.
Oh, perfectly. Yeah. And, you're playing the top side the next week and someone's reported and someone taps you on the shoulder and says, are you ready for the press conference? Oh, I hadn't really given that much of a thought.
And you have to do it. You don't have a choice, do you?
And the bloke's had 15 hours lead-up time on me and gets in there and asks the most, are you disappointed that the bloke gave away a 50-meter penalty?
No, I loved it. Loved
it. Oh, no, jeez. Look, you know what? I'm going to throw a party tomorrow and celebrate that 50-meter penalty. Yeah. I mean, really? Are we really on the same planet? You know what I mean?
Mick, one of the other things is being an AFL coach, you get celebrated when things are going well, but when you get when you lost a few games, you get kicked to the curb big time.
Oh, yeah.
And everyone's calling for your head, basically. Yeah. That's and when then the board comes out and says, we fully support Mick Mulhouse, and you go, no.
So when that happened for you, and the recent one was Carlton, because it becomes so public, for us, if you lose your jobs, you just go about your business. Yeah. But it becomes public. You're on the front and back page.
Everybody in the street can come and ask you, how do you think your job's going?
How do you deal with a situation like that?
Well, it happened the once, but I'd probably been sacked 10 times beforehand, but reinstated before the game finished. Well, I look at it this way. It's part and part. You know there's a bullet going around. I was told this early days. There's a bullet running around with your name on it that's going to get you.
It's a matter of time.
And I got 31 years of good use, and by the time the bullet got me, it was very old and weary and probably rusty, but it got me.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, it does knock your confidence around.
Yeah,
but it knocks your family around far worse.
Yeah, of course, because they're reading the paper.
Well, and they've got to go where you go, really.
Yeah.
So,
and I've said...
It's like being an army wife.
Well, it's like, you're going to coach again, and I said, I'd love to have coached again, but... circumstances intervene, and then it's just recovered from breast cancer, and you think, I've got no desire whatsoever. I mean, once it really sits in, and you look at the actual reality of it, last thing the surgeon said was, keep away from stress. Well, keep away from stress simply means don't live with him, and don't let him get a coaching job.
She said,
I'm going to live with him, okay? Well, don't get a coaching job, so we've halved the stress. And
so the recruit is a good match for you because you kind of get it out of your system, but you don't have the high pressure of coaching AFL.
And you know what the brief is? Don't worry whether you win or lose. How often has a board ever said that? Yeah, never.
Yeah.
So I've got people
saying,
this is
the dream job for you.
Look, if you lose a game, let's see how the reaction is. If you keep winning, if you win a game, how fantastic that is. And I'm thinking, wow, Yeah, well, I mean, we can manufacture a loss here.
Just for drama.
Mick, do you think that in 50 years' time, now that the women's league is brought in, do you think that it's going to be women and men same level? What do you think the future is for the women's league?
Look, I'm so scared to answer those things now because I could have answered and said I had women's sides play for me. It's from time to time, but we're not allowed to say that. so I didn't say it.
No, you didn't say that at all.
And we definitely didn't laugh at it.
No. Well, I'm not too sure I'd be watching too many women's games. But that's not to say other people don't watch women's games. Mm. But it's like watching, would I watch Andy Murray or watch Serena Williams? I guess I'd probably watch Andy Murray.
Yeah.
But
you wouldn't say that to Serena Williams' face.
No, she'd
pick you up and throw you over the hill.
And what we should say is the greatest player ever.
She is unbelievable. Yep. Yeah.
She won her first
Grand Slam in 1999 when you last coached at the Eagles. And she's still doing it.
Well, she psychs them out of it, let's face it.
Yeah, she does. Yeah.
But I think anyone who plays sport in a team environment are better for it.
Yeah.
And if it means that we have more engaged people and more involved people, I think there's a good secret lesson to this, and there's no doubt about this, that AFL is a little bit on the wane because we are multicultural. We've got this fantastic game called soccer, which is worldwide and this kind of stuff. And what was happening was that we were losing kids because they saw Nat Fyfe with a broken leg and they see someone with a head injury and they see blood and gore. And the women were going, I'd rather them play soccer. More women that play football come through as mums. There's no doubt their kids are going to play football.
It keeps the game healthy and keeps numbers in the game.
It does. And we can be very proud of ourselves in AFL football that probably 51-49% ratio go to the games male-female. Whereas other sports, rugby, it's probably 80-20. So we've got a really good demographic.
Right, because female fans are just as passionate as male fans.
Well, there's more members than men. It's quite incredible. My mum goes off at the footy. I know that. She's so passionate.
Good on you, Sue.
And they're all into the recruit too.
Yeah.
Do you know Sean's mum won $500,000 at the Melbourne Cup?
True story. On a couple
of
years ago.
Picked Irish horses. $12 cost her.
Sean's never wins anything. It's so funny. And Sean punts on every race going around Australia
Here's a lesson.
Are you a punter?
I wouldn't know a horse from a camel.
Wow, because so many footballers that we meet are so into.
I know that.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, no. I look at it this way. I've never seen a broke bookie.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
They always drive out in their Mercs, don't they?
Yeah.
Sorry, Sean's paid for it. So the recruit kicks off next Wednesday, everybody, on Fox 8 at 6:30. Our time is seeing Mick Malthouse in full flight.
Can I say also that I checked in with the people at Fremantle, and they take these guys pretty seriously. So Nathan was talking about the they are the Idol and stuff like that. But these guys have been on the radar previously. Yeah. They're not just people who've jumped off the street. They've played footy at a high level. They've just had probably commitment issues and other things get in their way
injuries,
at times.
Injuries. Maturity.
Just bad timing.
Maturity.
Yeah.
I still would like to see one spot on the recruit given to someone that doesn't really play but just thinks they can. You know, the people that come up and tell you how to do the game.
I've coached a lot of those people.
Well, we're looking at a calendar of all of their boys and Mr. July, not a bad rig.
Got a sweet rig.
Dylan Jones looks like a hippie. And this guy's got his tongue stuck out in the class photo.
Yeah, come on, mate.
That's
the way he is too.
That's the way he is.
Yeah, check it out. July 20, everyone.
Yeah, next Wednesday. Thank you so much
for talking. It's been
brilliant having you in the house. Right. And there's a few people lined up in the hallway to get photos with you too. You're a little bit of a cult figure around here, just quietly.